Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. This is our March 15th edition of the podcast, episode 74, and I am your host, Daniel, joined by my wonderful co-host, Jordan. How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I've had a really good day. I know this is a video game podcast, but I'm going to talk about meat for a second. I ate a lot of meat today.
Okay.
It was a certain special occasion. I don't know if you know this, Jordan, but last week there was an event that occurred.
Yes, a very momentous event. And in fact, I know it very well because it was your Minecraft username for a very long time. And I use it as my Dropbox pin code. You know how Dropbox has a little vault of like secure documents?
You're just telling the world what your pin code is?
No, because they don't know your birthday.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
That's correct. That's what happened last week. In fact, maybe yes. Now I should actually change that because maybe that information will become public at some point. But they'd have to get into my Dropbox first, so I'm still feeling okay about it.
All right. Well, yes, it was my birthday. Thank you for memorizing it for the last 10 years or however long it's been.
Thank you. Honestly, that was all on you for helping me out with that. Because every time on Minecraft, there's Dan, and then there's all the numbers of his birthday, the whole thing.
Yeah, here's a real tip for you guys out there. If you're like a parent and you're helping your kids make like names for an account, right? They might be able to remember their birthday, but their name shouldn't just be their entire full date of birth. Like that's probably not smart when you're on the internet with strangers. And so it was my birthday this week and I did a lot of fun things. I went to an amusement park for I was going to say the first time since COVID, but we also went to Disney, which is not, that's like a theme park.
Oh, okay.
It's like,
were you amused while you were there?
I mean, I suppose
so. Or were you themed?
The park was themed.
Okay.
And I was amused at the theme of the park.
Okay. Well, now I'm at a loss, so I don't know what to tell you.
I went to a Six Flags amusement park on my birthday, which was quite fun. I rode the tallest pendulum ride in the world.
That's you know, so where cool. They
like swing back and forth, goes 75 miles an hour at the height.
That's amazing. It
was terrifying. I will say, so we waited for like 40 minutes to get on the ride which is not bad. It's spring break here in the United States and at least in Texas it is. So I thought it would be crazy busy, but because of the pandemic, they have reserved slots. And so there's not a lot of people in the park and it actually wasn't very busy, but that was the longest we waited for any ride because the ride broke down before we got on it and we had to wait for it to get fixed.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't a breakdown. I think someone like had a spill or a vomit or something. I don't know. They had a cleanup. They cleaned it very thoroughly and then allowed people to get on on the ride.
Now, does COVID spread itself through vomit is the real question.
I'm pretty sure vomit counts as droplets. Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna say yes.
Okay. Well, good on them for cleaning it up nice and quickly.
So anyways, got back on the ride and so it's a pendulum ride, so you're swinging back and forth, but it's 17 stories tall, and it spins you around on a disc while you're going, and so if you, at certain points in the ride, you will just be facing the ground, like 90 degrees parallel to the ground before it just drops you on the swing of this pendulum, and I was screaming a lot, and I was with wife of the podcast, Marion, and I remember getting off the ride and turning to her and being like, I don't think I want to be Spider-Man anymore because it was just this realization of what it's actually like to be like 17 stories in the air and then to drop and swing. Mm-hmm. It was horrifying. It was so scary. It was the most thrilling roller coaster ride I've ever been on.
That is so cool. Was it there when I visited you a few years ago and we went to that park?
No, the time that you went with us was in 2017. That was the last time I've been to the park, and they've added like 4 new rides since then.
Oh, wow. Dude, sweet. It was really empty back then, too, if you remember. I don't remember why, but we walked straight to the front of the line, got in the front of a roller coaster, and we just went off. Not a single other person in the car, like for most rides we rode that night. I don't remember why.
We had to wait for the Batman ride, right? Because the Batman ride was the newest one.
I don't even remember. I don't remember waiting any lines anywhere.
Okay. If I remember right, the only one we did wait in was the Batman line, and I remember that because I went right now, and it's been, you know, almost 4 years, and there wasn't a line for the Batman ride. I was like, this is crazy. Not even this ride has a line.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. So that. But anyways, I was going to talk about meat because for my birthday lunch with my family, we went to the the same restaurant that you went to right before my wedding, the Chama Gaucha in San Antonio. It's a Brazilian steakhouse where you just get these little cards you flip over, and like green means bring me delicious meats and red means stop, I'm currently eating delicious meats. And that's the only communication that you need at Chama Gaucha's. And it's just buffet style, but it's like really upscale. You know, would you like another filet mignon? Would you like some top sirloin, bottom sirloin, sausage, chicken wrapped in bacon? Oh, I ate so much.
That was, I went there for your, was it your rehearsal dinner?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
It was a lot of meat. I have never seen so many different kinds of meats in my lifetime.
And you just get, they're all given to you. They're just pushed upon your
just
plate.
Flip the card over. I like the social aspect of it where you can just, summon meat just like that. But I was so meated out. Oh my goodness. Did you appreciate the text I sent you? I feel like that there was a story behind that.
Yes.
Where you said, I'm heading home, I'm very meated out, or something like that.
Yes, yes.
I said not to throw up.
Yes, there's definitely been a time where I went during a lunch period with some coworkers at a work lunch. And here's the exact mistake I made. Here's exactly where my plan went wrong. I ate all of the meat, and then after I was done eating the meat in full, they put an entire basket of cheddar biscuits in front of me. And they're like these fluffy cheese biscuits that are so irresistibly good. I ate the entire basket.
Oh, no.
And then I went home and got a headache, and Marianne came over and visited me. This is before we were married. She came over and visited me. We were supposed to hang out that night. And I just was like, man, you're going to have to go home. I've got a migraine. Like, I can't do anything but sit here and just feel horrible. And she was kind of, you know, sitting with me, hoping I felt better. I got up. I went and just threw up loads of meat. And then I felt fine, and we hung out the rest of the night. It was great.
Oh, my word. I like how you say you threw up the meat, implying, like, the biscuits went down, and they, like, swapped places. And they're like, get this meat out of here. We're the good stuff.
I'm sure the meat was probably a little heartier in terms of digesting.
Uh-huh. Okay. That makes sense.
It wasn't a great experience either way, but no such meat vomit this time.
Oh, good. That you know of yet. You could get off this podcast today and be stay tuned.
Stay tuned to the live Patient Players podcast recording. Who knows what's going to happen?
Oh, no. Just mute your microphone if it does happen. I'll give everyone like a play-by-play.
But leave the webcam on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We need proof, you know? This is how memories are made.
How else do you get the views on Twitch, right?
Man, cheddar biscuits. Cheddar biscuits? That sounds really good.
Yeah, I'm not, they're really good.
I'm only a fan of bread sometimes. A lot of people are like bread fanatics. But we went to Cheddar's, the restaurant. They have some great bread there. It's like a honey butter glaze biscuit. That sucker went fast. Very tasty.
So that's what I've been up to today. How's your week been?
It's been good. What have I done this week? Not very much. You know, I've been playing some more Hades. Still been loving that.
Woo!
We'll get to that in a bit.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of wedding planning here and there, you know, as I prepare to be wed. I don't know if you know that on Robinhood, you know, the Robinhood stock app.
Yes.
I have one stock of GME on there.
Okay.
So I've been eagerly watching the GameStop.
The GameStop stock?
Yes.
Where is that out nowadays? Are they continuing to hold?
Are still holding. My brothers with the diamond hands. We hold till Valhalla.
Wait, was it squeeze like 20 incoming. Bucks when you
bought short it or squeeze incoming. I'm going to be a millionaire off my one stock on Robinhood. Yeah.
So that is an exciting week.
It's very, very fun to watch.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast, guys. We're going to start talking about some video games. The format of this show, we are trying a little something different today. Hopefully, it'll be a little quicker. We've said that before and been totally wrong. So this week, we hope to actually hit that goal. We're going to do kind of a main topic this week. We'll get to that. We're going to start talking about some of our games that we played this week in a real quick fashion, not like we normally do. We have some thoughts that we want to discuss on the podcast around the new Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes coming out.
There's no shortage of Pokemon talk around here if you've listened to the Patient Players podcast forever. So
some predictions, perhaps. But with this podcast, the best part of the podcast is at the end. It's the question and answer section where we get to answer your questions that you send us. We can do it live in our Twitch chat if you're watching the live recording of each episode. But more importantly, you can email us at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com at any point during the week. Again, that's patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get your questions there to answer live on the air. We also have links to this content you're listening to on all sorts of devices through YouTube, through various podcast services, Spotify. All that's over at www.patientplayers.com/social. So we want to let you know about that before we go into our games that we've played this week. So let's jump into that. You mentioned Hades. I want to hear more about this. How's your Hades runs been?
Well, I last week, if you remember, I was sad that I didn't get to beat it before I told you that I had played it. Mm-hmm. This week, I am happy to report I have beaten it. I have beaten the Hades on, I think it was Wednesday. I beat it over at my fiance's house. Just, you know, she was like, I think she was cleaning some stuff up, and I was just on her bed playing Hades. So cool. Mm-hmm. The Switch is so cool.
I agree.
And then I went home that night, and the very next run, beat it again. So, times two combo in the first time. And then the next, I think, 5 to 6 attempts, I beat another 4 times.
Wow.
So I don't know what happened. I don't, because I didn't really like unlock anything for beating it. I feel like I just got like confident in winning, or just maybe just good, because now I'm just winning like all the time and nothing's really changed from before. So yeah, I've beaten it 6 times now. The story's rough. The story is it's very cruel how they drip feed you the story. You know, the first time, like, story explosion, you get to the end, you get these big reveals and stuff. And then like the third and fourth time you get there, you get like 2 sentences. And then it's like, oh, sorry, you're going to beat it again for more. And I'm like, really? Like, how many times am I supposed to beat this in order for like something to happen? Or like, is the game done? Like, have I experienced most of it?
Definitely know when the game is over. There are credits.
Yeah, you've mentioned that there's a point where stuff happens. You know,
yes,
a fan gets hit, if you will, with some stuff. So I haven't gotten there yet. Just after beating the game 6 times, I'm a little Hades fatigued, where I want to keep playing for the story, but at the same time, you know, like a playthrough, it takes like 30 to 40 minutes if you're successful. So that's about all I have to say on that. Besides, I did unlock my first aspect of a weapon, of Yang Yu. Wong Yu.
Oh, the hidden aspect you're saying, not just the regular.
Yes, yeah. The magical hidden one. I have no idea what happened that triggered that, but I unlocked, lo and behold, my favorite one, the spear. Which the downside of it is nasty.
Yeah, the hidden aspects are really crazy. They all drastically change the weapon. Like, you get a different attack set and specials and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I haven't actually unlocked it. I unlocked the option to purchase it with the currency.
Oh, but so you just looked at the stats?
Yeah, and it decreases your health by 75%.
Yes, but you do unlock, so you know how the spear, you have the poke, the throw, and you have the big spin.
Yes.
The spin on the hidden aspect will launch a projectile that spins, kind of like the Ares spinny death cast.
Mm-hmm.
And every hit of that ability will life drain 1 HP.
Oh.
So you have way less health, but you can get it back super easily.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a totally different way to play the game.
Holy smokes. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and all the hidden aspects are like that. They're completely different than the base weapon, except for like, you know, it's a similar style of weapon, but the moves are all changed. I really like them.
Very cool.
But that's cool to hear. I can agree with you on exactly your feeling about, like, why am I beating it over and over again all of a sudden? Like, nothing fundamentally changed in the game mechanics. I'm just doing better and winning. And yeah, that game is so excellent at teaching you to recognize the enemy patterns and, like, training you to do better. Mm-hmm. And you start to learn which, you know, god boons you want where and when you should get more money versus getting more health. And
I never go for money. Not a single time. If I give a choice between a money room and anything else, it's always the anything else.
Even if it's like gems or darkness.
Darkness, I'll go for darkness. Maybe I'll choose money over gems. The gems have gotten to the point where they are useless if I'm not trading them for keys. Or, yeah, I don't
care. You're not about decorating the House of Hades?
I will be at some point, probably. Maybe.
You know, you need to purchase a certain amount of decorations in order to get max relationship with Dusa.
Oh, well, that's fine. Who cares about that? Worst character, by the
way. Dusa is the best girl. Dusa is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's good to hear. Okay, cool. So that's our Hades update. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing some more Valheim. I've advanced to the Iron Age. I just returned home with my first batch of iron, which was a whole thing. I spent three days.
Because you can't teleport with it, right?
With metal, correct. You can't teleport with metal.
Okay.
So first step was finding the biome that had it. And that took when I say a day worth of playing, I mean of the time in a day I can play a game.
Mm-hmm.
I get maybe 2 hours at the end of the day. I spent a whole time just finding the biome, and it was really far away from my home. I built the portal, all this stuff. Day two was finding where the iron was in the biome and extracting it. And my whole third day of playing was just trying to get the iron back to my home, because here's the problem. It exists in a biome that is half water, half land, and you can't just ride a boat out of it, but you also can't drag a cart through it because there's water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to make a boat and then go through the water until I would hit land. And then I'd have to dig a trench through the land with my pickaxe and then ride my boat through the trench I had just created until I finally got out of that biome. And then I had to sail all the way back to my home to get the iron back home.
Is that how the game intends for you to do it? Or is there an upgraded portal you can get with iron at some point?
No, I think what the game intends for you to do is to create multiple bases. And that's what my next plan is, because I very quickly ran out of iron, creating mm-hmm. iron armor and weapons and stuff. And I need to make more iron tools and upgrade them, which needs a lot more iron.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is actually take all the supplies I need to set up a base, which really any of the supplies I need to make a base I can teleport with, except for other metal. So I maybe need 20 pieces of metal to create certain pieces of furniture, but everything else I can teleport with. So I'm going to go out on this excursion with these basic pieces of metal that I need. I'm going to find a place to set up a secondary base near where the iron is from.
Nice.
And then I'm going to build a whole base there, and I can do all of my weapon upgrading and weapon crafting at this secondary base. And then the tools and weapons that I've created can go through the portal. No problem.
It's very nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of my next plan in Valheim. I do desperately need to rebuild my house because it's very full, and I just unlocked, now that I have iron, I can create stone buildings for the first time. So before it was all just wooden platforms on stilts, but now I could make an actual castle or something. So
okay.
I'm looking forward to doing some more of the fun house building and town building, and not just power gaming. But next time around, I will definitely be searching for more iron.
Okay, very nice. Dude, that's cool. That's cool. But you haven't fought any new bosses yet, have you?
No. In fact, the place that has the iron, that's where the third boss is. So I'm trying to create a bunch of iron weapons and armor so that I am strong enough to fight the third boss.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Very nice.
That's been my Valheim experience. I have one or two more games just to check in. Did you have anything else?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay,
I've only done Hades this last week. I mean, other than what we did last night, which I assume you'll get to.
Yes. So it's funny because before this podcast, I was listening to last week's episode again just to relive some of it. And I mentioned Jackbox, and you were talking about how badly you wanted to play the drawing game Champed Up and the new Jackbox. And lo and behold, last night I had a bit of a Discord birthday party with you and some friends. We played Jackbox 7.
That was really cool, by the way. Having everyone, especially with video cams on, that really made it feel connected to seeing everyone's faces on the screen.
Yeah, as we're all laughing at each other, as we're drawing things with Champed Up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we switched over once we got more than 8 players to Among Us. We played some Among Us for a while,
mm-hmm.
Which I know is not typically your favorite, but there was not very much metagaming.
There was not. I appreciate that. I was even able to have fun on the basic map where everyone knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of effort, but I put in the effort and I had a good time for your birthday and for
we all appreciated it. so much.
I won once, and that I took that victory, and I said, oh, this is it. I'm just going to hold on to that for the night. Like this, I'm satisfied. I'll try to be satisfied with this one victory.
Yep, yep. I started realizing that, like, because we played a bunch of Among Us now, it's starting to get a little old in just the trying to win factor.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, I had something come up. there's a lot of interesting things you could do to like mix it up. Like, oh, this character is just like going to intentionally try to mess people up, or this person is just going to be silent the whole time. Like, I feel like if I play Among Us again, I need to start being more wacky and crazy, and not just like pro gamer. Like, I have devised who the villain is uh-huh. like every single round.
Dude, the day Among Us gets like official mod support, which would be, it's not going to happen because the phone support, it just wouldn't be possible. But I've seen such awesome mods, like a police mod or a jokester mod where someone's trying to get killed. And so you need to not kill that one person or else they win. Or the play dead mod. Like, oh my word, there's so many cool things people have made for this game that I feel like are just what the game needs to be, like, kind of shuffled up in a wacky kind of way.
Yeah, that could be really cool. I'm kind of sad that they went away from Among Us 2 and we're like, no, we're just going to double down on Among Us 1. But if they end up adding all the stuff to Among Us 1, then I'd be happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So last game I'll mention real fast. This needs to be another topic for another podcast, but I decided to go through my purchase history on the App Store, the Apple App Store.
What on earth?
And look at everything I've downloaded for all time.
No way.
And boy, oh boy, there were some deep memories that I had completely forgotten about of like games from like 2008 on this iPhone. And I was like, boy, I remember being in middle school and like playing these phone games. So I'll have to come back around to that another time. But that caused me to look at the Apple Arcade to see what's going on with these new games on Apple Arcade.
Yeah, yeah.
I downloaded a game called Sping. Have you heard of Sping?
No, I have not heard of Sping. I have Apple Arcade.
It's take the word spin and the word swing and just mash them together into Sping.
Someone described it like Sonic meets pinball? Not pinball, something else.
But don't listen to whoever told you that. That's a horrible description. It's just a puzzle game. All you do is tap and untap. There's just one control. But when you're tapping, you're a little ball moving through a map. And the ball will latch on to like a anchor point and spin around it as long as you hold down. So it's all about like spinning with the perfect momentum to launch yourself towards another anchor.
Sping.
And
you're trying to
collect little like gems along the way, and you're trying to 3-star every level. It's a pretty App Store app game,
mm-hmm.
but
without microtransactions. I'm sure that's beautiful. Just the thought knowing that it's not going to pop up ever, and that you just own this game.
They do have loot boxes, though, because of course they do.
No, what? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's fun. I got all 250 stars from the first, or not 250. There's 180 levels. I got 3 stars on all 180 levels of the first pack of levels, and that unlocks the second pack, which are like, once you untether from an anchor, the anchor disappears, and so you can only get one chance.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying that game. That's all I want to say. And that's the wrap-up of our game talk. We have a main topic today, is that right?
We do have a name topic.
We're trying something out a little new. We're going a little bit faster through the podcast, but also we want to do a deeper dive on one particular topic. And the one that we chose this week, as we were thinking ahead to the Nintendo Pokemon Company output of the Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. These are the Diamond and Pearl remakes that they announced a few weeks ago. We're both very excited. We both loved Diamond and Pearl originally and Platinum. But as you know, with Nintendo, you can't ever just have things the way that they should be. Nintendo they love taking this little problem that didn't need to be there and inserting it into every one of their games that could be so easily fixed,
yep.
But they choose not to do it. We've called it the Nintendo Stank Turd. That's our nickname for it. It's in every game. If you look close enough, you'll always find the Nintendo Stank Turd somewhere in those Nintendo games.
Absolutely. And it's like when they develop a game, they're like, here's some features and here are the Stank Turds. Like it's part of the game. It's part
for
of
every
Nintendo
good
game.
Feature. You have to balance it exactly. With the Stank Turd.
Must be a Japanese thing.
We're trying to to get ahead of the stank turd curve on this one, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what could Nintendo possibly, or Pokemon Company, Game Freak, whatever you want to say, what could, actually Game Freak's not development, what could Pokemon Company possibly screw up about the Diamond and Pearl remakes? And we have a couple areas of the game we're going to look at.
That's right. We're doing them a solid by giving them ideas on on ways that are absolutely avoidable of how they can mess up this game in a Nintendo stinky turd kind of way.
All right. So the first thing we want to look at is the story of Diamond and Pearl. So from what I remember as a kid, Diamond and Pearl, you've got your typical new kid in town to the Sinnoh region. And then you got to go on your journey to collect Pokemon and become champion. But along the way, you have Team Galactic, who are interested in rewriting the entire timeline of the world via the god Pokemon, Dialga and Palkia of time and space. Pretty interesting story. You got your rival, I believe his name is Lucas, right?
I don't remember. I always name him Daniel.
I forgot that.
It's the only way I can beat you.
So what are the ways Nintendo could just screw up the story of the remakes? How do you screw up a remake story?
Yeah, it's very hard. And Diamond and Pearl and even Platinum have such a good story too. Mm-hmm. How could they mess it up? The only thing I came up with is if they like just changed all of the dialogue, you know, like, and to stink to it in that, oh, the dialogues already exist in the old game. Just literally just move them over. I see them being like, no, we got to recreate these characters, you know, and then it's just bad, you know, it's just like worse. And you think, couldn't you? Why did you do that? Why did you have to do that?
I agree.
That's all I came up with.
See, but here's the thing. They changed all the dialogue. Not all the dialogue. They changed a lot of dialogue in the Ruby and Sapphire remakes, and they added that whole subplot about, like, multi-dimensions. Do you remember that? Where, like, the old Alpha and Sapphire was, like, a different dimension than Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and
no,
they were, like...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you get to the Weather Institute, and they're all like, oh, yeah, there's all these disturbances coming through from this rift in the dimensions because, like, there's another dimension out there where Mega Evolution doesn't exist.
Whoa.
And that was, like, the whole subplot. And I thought that was really cool. Like,
wow, I don't remember that at all.
And that led into the Delta episode with Rayquaza.
That was cool.
I agree with you that if they go and revisit the dialogue and they make it like modern Pokemon dialogue, that would instantly ruin it. And the way that I decided to like codify that is to say, if they take your rival, Lucas or Daniel, or whatever you want to call him, if he has a bunch of dialogue about friendship, then I'm out. Like, it's like, if they give the rival that corny dialogue about, like, the power of your bond getting you through, like, I don't need it. Get me out of there.
I feel like that was already in the original game, though. I think the rival in this game is probably the nicest rival across them all. Is he not?
The rival in the first game was just a jerk. The rival in Silver and Gold was a straight-up criminal.
Okay.
But the rival in Sapphire and Ruby was May.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were fam.
Yeah. No, it was Steven, whatever, the dude with the Ralts. He was nice.
Steven? Oh, yeah, Steven.
Yeah, yeah, and May was just a nice helper to the assistant.
That's correct. Yeah, Steven was nice. Okay.
All right, so story, I'd give him like a 2 out of 5 chance of screwing that up. Boy, how could they screw up the GTS, the Global Trading System, any more than they already have managed to do it? This would truly be a shocker to me if they found out a way to make it even worse than it already is.
Well, let's see. How did they mess it up in Sword and Shield? I forget what they did to it. That was so... They did some stuff with it. Oh, wait. Yeah, it's not in the game. I forgot that. You have to put them in the app, don't you?
Well, yeah, you genuinely forgot there's no GTS?
Yes.
Okay, you know what?
That's a You're high right. bar.
You're right. They could just not put it in, and it would be significantly worse than Diamond and Pearl, where they have a whole half a city devoted to it. There's a whole building that's just the GTS.
I have bad news. This could actually be a reality, because the company that's making this remake is the company that made Pokemon Home, which is like they are the new GTS. So
oh, no,
they could easily just be like, no, if you want to trade, use our other service, you know, that we made ourselves.
But didn't put, well, one, okay, one, that's a huge Nintendo stank turd because you have to pay for it. Mm. And two, what you can, I guess you can trade any Pokemon on that service. You just mm-hmm. can't import all Pokemon back into Diamond and Pearl.
That's right, yeah.
I am going to be real upset because that was the game that introduced online trading. That was the first Pokemon game on the DS, which was a big deal. It had internet, which was a big deal.
Oh, wow.
And it was like the first time you could trade with someone that wasn't in the room with you. That was huge. And so to be and not only did they add like online trading, but like nowadays Nintendo would just be, okay, you can trade with your friends online.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be good enough. But like, this is truly random internet trading with people on like a marketplace, which Nintendo would never do something like that nowadays, it feels like. And they mm-hmm. introduced that all the way back in Diamond and Pearl. So for them to rip that out and replace it with just the Pokemon Home that you have to pay for and is like not tied into Diamond and Pearl would make me very upset.
Absolutely seems likely. Like what's the alternative? Them putting GTS in the game and you can only trade with other Diamond and Pearl people with Pokemon from that game. I guess that makes sense.
Yes, that's what they should do. But I think it's like a 3 out of 5 that they screwed this up.
Absolutely. Man, that is a great point. I was thinking of it never even occurred to me for taking it out, but I was like, what if, let's say it is in the game and they're like, okay, you can use a GTS, mm-hmm. but what if you can only do one trade every day?
the Animal Crossing conundrum.
Yes,
that would be too bad.
You
I don't
have
feel
a
like you trade that much
on the screen. But like,
if they literally
it's a thing
restricted
where it's like,
it,
why? There's no reason why you should. That's why I came up with it.
It's such a Nintendo solution. You're so right.
Uh huh. Either that, or I don't know. They charge like in-game currency to do it. That wouldn't be too bad. It would be annoying. But
that
I don't
would be
know
annoying.
If that would be like a stank turd.
Or like the daycare where the more powerful the Pokemon that you get out is, the more you have to pay.
I was thinking about that. I was wondering, I was like, how can they mess it up to where it's like, you can't trade like a good Pokemon without like losing something, like a lot of something. But I couldn't think of a system. That's a good idea. Or bad idea. Yeah. That's a great bad idea.
You know what? If they pull it out of the game and they go to Pokemon Home, you won't be able to trade evolve Pokemon. Like, a Haunter wouldn't evolve into a Gengar through Pokemon Home, would it?
I don't actually know.
That's nuts. Okay, I really hope they don't screw this up.
I know 100% you can't for the ones that require an item to trade.
Right.
Because they can't hold items. But
which, Generation 4, the Sinnoh Pokemon, introduced a ton that required items.
Yep. Those were a pain in the butt back when I was catching them all on the DS games to get those, because I had to get the items and then I had to trade with someone. And that's why I ended up just buying the game twice, so I could just do it myself, because it was a pain in the butt to find someone.
Oh my gosh, Jordan.
Yeah.
That's actually how I started mastering the GTS with Alpha Ruby and Omega Sapphire. I would go and catch I would attack Skarmory that had a chance of holding the Metal Coat, and I would attach the Metal Coat onto a Scyther and put it on the GTS, and people would trade legendaries for it.
What?
People would kill for a Metal Coat Scyther, because it evolves
really?
Into Scizor.
Wow. Yeah.
So I would like, I was a mogul on that trading system, man. That's how I got all of my legendaries, is I would trade up to like a, even if I couldn't get anything more than like a minor legendary, like a Uxie, Miesprit, or a Zelf.
Mm-hmm.
But then those minor legendaries I could trade up into like a Heatran, or into a, eventually you could get all the way to the really big ones, like the version specific legendaries.
Good heavens. Wow.
It's great.
Speaking of legendaries,
how would they mess those up? I had the perfect idea of something that they might do, and I hate it, and I hope it doesn't happen. But you remember how the worst legendary in Diamond and Pearl was Cresselia? Because
yes,
you had to do the running Pokemon thing that they loved so much.
No.
Where like
what?
Where the Pokemon would run from you, and then you have to like
track them down,
search for it on the routes by like opening your menu, opening your Pokédex, looking at the route. Oh, it's not there. And then every time you changed routes, it would change routes, and it was mm-hmm. like impossible to run into it.
Mm-hmm.
What if they tie that in with Pokemon Go? Where, like, you have to physically go find Cresselia.
Like, tie your account and then go catch this legendary Pokemon?
Yeah, for... like, you can only fight Cresselia if, like, your GPS has, like, traveled far enough to find it.
That's disgusting. I hate that. Thank you.
Just for you. That one's just for you.
Good night. I wouldn't do it. Honestly, and like, you know, I have them all at this point. Like, every single game in the past, like, five generations, you could catch every single one again. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the point where I have, like, three of each kind where I'm mm-hmm. thinking, like, will I even care to, like, catch them all again in the new? Like, there's no point. I don't need a fourth Dialga. You know, like, of course I'll catch him for story reasons, but I'm like, well, I want to go and catch like that. I forgot about that guy that runs away from you, or that Cresselia. Like,
yeah,
I probably just won't do that if it isn't in the game in a normal reason, because I have two and there's no reason to need a third one.
All right, well, how else could they screw up legendaries?
Well, I mentioned earlier when we were discussing ideas, I was like, what if they get like a super let's say the box art one. Let's say like Dialga. Like, you catch him, and it's like, oh, this guy is now like your partner, like in Let's Go, because in Let's Go you can't transfer your partner your partner out of the game. Like, my Eevee in Let's Go Eevee is hard coded to stay forever into Let's Go Eevee. I can't even like copy it out, like a one time copy. It is in there. I'm like, what if they got legendaries and they're like, okay, you guys have had enough legendaries over the years. Now when you catch them, they have to stay in this game. You can't take them out anymore. It's going to make them more special. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh, you're right. Well, would that be worth it if Dialga and Palkia could like walk around you like in Let's Go and just like trample on people as you're walking around? That would be kind of cool.
That'd be cool. I'd still be sad that they're just like in a digital prison. Against their will. Like,
Pokemon are in a digital prison.
They can control time and space, but they can't control Game Freak letting them come out of the game.
I just had a thought. Do you remember the worst legendary to get of all time of Manaphy?
Oh, like most difficult?
Yeah. Do you remember why?
Yes. You had to get a whole new game.
You had to get Pokemon Ranger. And Pokemon Ranger would only allow you to transfer a Manaphy once per cart. Not even once per save file.
No way. I did not know that.
Once per cart. So, like, I rented Pokemon Ranger from Blockbuster and someone had already done it. So, I couldn't even though I beat the game and I unlocked the Manaphy mission, I couldn't transfer the egg.
Wow. They've been in the stink turd business for a long time now.
Here's the thing. There's another legendary in Diamond and Pearl coming to a game, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is, what if you can get Arceus in Diamond and Pearl, but not unless you buy the other game and send it over? What if they go back to the Pokemon Ranger model?
Mind is blown. That makes so much sense, too. Because, of course, you can catch Arceus in Pokemon Arceus. However, Stank Turtle alert, maybe you can't. Pokemon Arceus today, you can't catch him though, so it's just the name.
He just judges you with judgment.
Man. The Manaphy thing that you were talking about, you also forget that it's not just one Pokemon that's locked, it's two, because you can breed Manaphy for the second one, and the only way to get the second one is to breed a Manaphy, and the only way to get a Manaphy.
But then people would throw the Fionn up on the GTS. Fionn was actually pretty easy to get.
Oh, can you breed multiple Fionns?
Yeah. You can breed Manaphy over and over and over again and get the Fionn over and over again.
Well, that's good. There's a light to every tower, huh?
Which I thought was kind of interesting, because if you think about it, they made a Pokemon that was incredibly hard to get. You had to buy a whole other game. And then because they knew people would want that Pokemon, they made a... like almost identical Pokemon. I think it only has a different ability, and maybe there's one signature move it can't learn. So it's like a slightly lesser version that you can just give out to everybody by breeding it.
Mom, can we get Manaphy? No, honey, we have Manaphy at home. Manaphy at home.
Just a little Fionn.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. What about the Battle Tower? I loved the Battle Tower. And in fact, I'm thinking about like the whole island the Battle Tower was on in Diamond and Pearl, mm-hmm. because that was like the post-game island. It was like the main game. You almost never needed to go back there because all of the level 50 Pokemon, all of the extra legendaries like Heatran and like the Battle Tower, all of that stuff, the desert, that was all up in this like separate island that had three whole towns. And you couldn't even get to it till after you beat the game. Like, talk about post-game content. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. I spent at least 100 hours in Diamond and Pearl, if not more, because of that island. So how could they screw up this post-game island?
I feel like you're much more qualified to talk about this because I've always been so disinterested in the Battle Tower stuff at the end of the Pokemon games, because my interest in the games has mostly been just in collecting them all. You know, I love the little sprites. I hope they bring mm-hmm. the sprites back. Wow, I didn't think that they might not bring the sprites
back. Didn't they show in the video that there's models?
But even like in the PC in the game?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Just like, I just want a PC with sprites. It's not that hard. And like, I was so sad when Pokemon Home did like art pieces for each guy. I was like, I love the little sprites.
You talking about the generic sprites or?
Yeah, like the 8-bit sprites. Where
they're so
like,
specific for each Pokemon. Oh, yeah.
And they
kind
of move when you mess over them. Yeah. Like, I was so sad that they got rid of those for Pokemon Home.
Yeah.
But, so I was mostly in the game for collecting them. I never really cared about the Battle Tower stuff. So I did ask myself, what would ruin this most for Daniel? And so I did come up with something.
Okay, what is it?
Yeah, it's if they still had it, but you didn't get any rewards for beating any of it that lead into, like, the special items you need to train the Pokemon. Like the macho brace, like any of the braces. It's like, it's just for battling, and then that's, you don't get any, like, not even money. It's just boom. It's just like battle time.
That would be weird. I don't feel like there's never been like a game mechanic that hasn't at least had like a tag for your name or like a token that's like, oh, I beat 150 things in a row. Like, there's always some recognition. So I don't know.
Or battle points.
Battle points. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, based on how Sword and Shield just went, that whole island might just be a DLC.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
That would be horrible, right? If you had to buy your ticket from Snowvale or whatever the town is.
Buy your ticket from the eShop, I think you mean.
And then sail on over to the actual fun part of the game. That would be killer.
Yeah, that'd be pretty bummer.
I hope they don't do that.
Man.
With the Pokemon remakes, they haven't really locked out content from DLC, but they've only been doing DLC for Sword and Shield, right? They didn't have any for Alpha Ruby, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, did they?
That's correct. Yeah. Like, the DLC for Sword and Shield was like their third iteration of the game, where they were saying, like, instead of doing a third one, we're just going to do DLC, and it's easier that way.
What if the next game that comes out is just Pokemon Z? They're like, oh, whoops, we lost it. It was just sitting in this dumpster the whole time.
That'd
we
be
forgot
amazing.
To release it.
That'd be so cool.
Like, on 3DS, like, not even like a remake. Oh. It was just, here's Pokemon Z. We forgot to release it after all these years.
3DS sales spiked this year, the first time in like 6 years. No one knows why.
That would be funny. All right, got a few more things that they could really, really screw up here. Do you have one?
The Pokédex. Is there a way they can mess up the Pokédex?
Haven't they already done that? Wasn't that the whole thing? The whole, everyone was freaking out about Sword and Shield. What was it? Dexgate?
Yes, Dexgate.
What's it called?
That's correct. Yeah, taking out so many of them. But that's basically confirmed in Diamond and Pearl. It's only going to be up to that point. Or,
okay,
I don't know. Maybe it might be just once from that generation. That'd be crazy if they actually changed that, where it was only Diamond and Pearl Pokemon. Yeah. That'd be a way of messing it up, I think, because the game would be
much
smaller.
Yeah, there's not enough to only have Sinnoh Pokemon. In fact, Sinnoh, the fourth generation of Pokemon, was the first generation where they significantly added evolutions to prior Pokemon. Like,
oh, that's
Electivire,
right.
Magmortar, Probopass, like Magnezone. There was just a ton of Mamoswine, even a bunch of evolutions of older ones. So I don't think you could do a Sinnoh only game. They would have to have Pokemon from the previous games.
And then watch them do it anyways. But the Pokédex has the ones that need to be traded to evolve, but you can't actually get them in the game because they're not part of the Pokédex, so you gotta trade them in. There you go. There's your Stankturd. Did it.
There's your Stankturd. What I was thinking of, I was thinking about, like, the one time I felt the worst as a collector was when I was collecting achievements for the Shadow of War game and Shadow of Mordor, and I 100%ed the game, and I checked back like 3 months later, and I realized that it said like 60 out of 90 achievements because they had added a bunch with the DLC, but I didn't own the DLC, but it still showed me as not completing the game because I didn't have the DLC achievements. Yeah. And I'm like, what if they release the game and it's only the Sinnoh Pokemon, and then they're like, oh, here's Diamond and Pearl Iceborne over here. Download the DLC. And it comes with like 100 new Pokemon from the new generation. But then if you don't buy it, the Pokedex still has them in there.
Oh.
And you just can't complete the Pokedex anymore.
I hate that. And honestly, it's amazing they didn't do that with Sword and Shield. Like,
how did that one work?
Props to them. I forget, when you get the DLC, or actually, even if you don't have the DLC, just adding to the game, it adds a separate Pokedex all on its own. So there still is that, and I guess that could be annoying, but if you completed the first one, that one's still complete, and you have like a little star on it.
Okay.
So yeah,
that makes sense.
So the game technically has three different Pokedexes for you to complete if you, even if you don't own them, you can trade them in to complete them.
Right. Now, the last feature that they could really screw up is the one I want them to screw up the least, which means it will probably be screwed up the most. And this is the underground, which was like low-key the best part about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. I spent so much time in there. This is the part of the game where you can... It's an expansion of the secret bases from Ruby and Sapphire, where you could like build a base with furniture and stuff. But instead, you at any point in the game, you can just go underground, and they have this whole map of the world underground. And you can dig for fossils and gems and coins, and then you can build a secret base somewhere in the underground. And then if you were to join that area along with another player nearby, you would both be in the underground, and you could find each other's secret bases and steal each other's flags. You remember that?
Yeah, I never actually got to do any of that because we never had internet that supported my DS when I was younger. So I was a much loner in my...
Was it online? I thought it was just local.
Was it local? I remember, maybe I'm thinking of the GTS. I couldn't do a lot of things online with my DS because of our certain router we had. But in that case, yeah. Then no, I never got to play with anyone local because you were the only person I think I knew who had it, and we barely saw each other in person.
I had one friend, but he was like 5 years older than me. He was like not super interested in Pokemon, but he owned the game. And I stayed at his house for a weekend one time because my parents were out of town. And I took his DS, and I took my DS, and I stole his flag 50 times so that I could get the golden flag that, gives you the maximum. So I spent probably, like, 2 or 3 hours just running back and forth.
That's hilarious.
To steal his flag over and over and over again. And so I got the maximum level of flag from that one day.
Nice.
But that was super fun. I am worried about this because...
It's online.
I was going to say, well, because I remember it being local only. And so what if they... don't make it online.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What if they just keep it the way it was? Uh-oh. I gotta look this up. Was the underground online? Hold on.
Man, so you have to have friends with the Switch, with the game, and you need to boot it up and go, like, deliberately go underground to steal each other's flags.
Yes.
That sounds pretty lame. That sounds like a pretty lame time.
Okay, yes, it does... It does require the DS wireless communications, which allows multiple players with their own DS and copy of the game to interact. So that is not the DS Wi-Fi. That's a separate... Wireless communications is the local technology. So the old one was not Wi-Fi, and I'm worried that they could just do that again. I don't think they will. That's a horrible decision. They should make it online. But
how would they do it online? Would it be just random people? Could you do it with friends? Let's go ahead and say no, you can't do it with friends. Because this is Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. It's like you have two philosophies of Nintendo. One, don't make anything easy for friends ever allow them to like cheat the system by stealing each other's flags. But two, don't ever allow you to play with random people that you can talk to or interact with ever. So like, which one's going to win? Are they going to let you... interact with other people online and possibly be exposed to the dangers of strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to let you steal each other's flags and like maybe even have fun?
Now, I have the ultimate solution. If you're listening, Game Freak, Pokemon Company, whoever you are, here is your stink turd a la mode. Just take out bases. Just take them out all together. Make everybody sad who loved them. And my first thought was just make underground a place where you can just get fossils every once in a while, because that is so boring and useless that they would actually do that.
The minigame was fun, though.
Thinking about it more, I'm like, no, just take out the whole underground. Like, why even go that far? Like, come on,
they've already shown it, though.
That takes work. What?
They've already shown it in the trailer.
Oh, they did. Okay, great. Yeah. Good,
it's
good,
definitely good. In there. I don't That's know how it news. Works, but it is in there.
I wonder if you can see bases in it.
Here's the final option for you is they take the Animal Crossing route, okay? Jordan, why don't you come visit my underground? Oh, great. Hey, can you get out of that menu real quick? I need to join your underground. All right, cool. Let me watch this cutscene of you burrowing into my underground. Oh, wait, hold on. My mom came in. Let me sleep my Switch. No. Oh, no. All of my friends just got kicked out of the underground.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. Oh, my word. Even the sleeping part, you nailed that. Like, everyone else's experience gets ruined because one person put their Switch into sleep. Holy smokes.
Oh, man. Oh, no, I lost all of the fossils I just spent the last hour getting because you slept your device. Because
it only, like, saves when someone, like, manually leaves or something like that. Holy Toledo.
I can't do this fossil because somebody else is in a menu. Oh, my goodness.
Could you Google this? I just want to know, like... I'm just scared now.
We've scared ourselves. Well, that's the end of our main topic. Nintendo, there you go. There's all the different ways you could screw up the Diamond and Pearl remakes and make our days so sad. But we're probably still going to buy it because we're suckers. And Diamond and Pearl was amazing.
It was amazing. My only complaint about it so far, from this very little information, is just the art style. It looks so low effort. Which is disappointing. I would have just adored just a 8-bit or whatever. What would you call the old graphics? Just pixelated.
Sure.
Just bring it back. You know, like the way Final Fantasy did, where I'd push a button, it goes back to how the game looked back then. I would play the game only in how it looked back then compared to this new, like...
The weird chibi models.
Yeah. I like the chibi models, but like they just look low effort. They just look like someone just went on a website and like, oh, here's a model. I'll just download that someone made and sold for $10, you know? And then the battles look great. The battles, mm-hmm. the animation and the graphics and battles look amazing. And you go back to the real game and you're like, oh, what? Like, what just happened? Why does everything look terrible now?
Well, plus it's going to be on a Switch, so it's going to look like even weirder in handheld mode. Yeah,
I guess.
How about them Switch Pro rumors, though, about outputting in 4K? Ooh.
Can't I care more about frame rate than 4K, but I mean, I'd still love it. I'd still probably sell mine to get the new one.
Alrighty, well, here we are. Give me one second. I do believe that for the first time in Patient Player's history, we will need to skip the questions and answers section.
Nonsense! I'm looking at an email right now that I took out of spam and I put in the inbox. Because we had no other emails.
Well, thank you to Floyd, our good friend, for emailing the Patient Players Podcast.
Yes, in fact, I forgot what it's...
patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. I have forgotten what the email said. If you could read Floyd's email, please.
Floyd writes in and says, hello, it is a chance to get top rank on Google page. Do you want to first page on ranking on Google?
Yes, I do.
Please let us know if you are interested, then I can send you our packages and price list. Thanks and regards, Floyd. Note, we will be more than happy to send you proposal and pricing.
Well, thank you, Floyd, for writing us. However, I am an engaged man. Daniel's married. So we will neither be needing your proposal nor pricing.
Or package.
Or packages list. Look, Floyd came in clutch today. You know,
we really needed Floyd today.
And I'm going to put it back in the spam so that the email doesn't think that I want more emails from Floyd.
the patient listeners really letting us down here. If you're hearing this, then you know, like a child without food, we are a podcast without emails.
Oh, wow. Very sad.
And you can solve this issue by picking up the phone and emailing patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, I thought we were about to have a live like call segment there for a second. Picking up the phone and dialing 555-235-3927.
You can save a podcast today. Wow, I think without our questions and answer section, we are actually going to manage to hit our shorter time that we aimed for, even if it wasn't that short.
Incredible.
That was fun. We might be shaking up the podcast some more. We had a new format today, a new topic. You might see more of that stuff in the future. We might change up the schedule. So we'll be sure to announce all that stuff on the community Discord, on our social media feeds. All of that's at patientplayers.com/social. Be sure to hit us up there.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Did you check the Discord for any Discord questions?
Just in case. Discord questions.
Yes.
We have burning hot straight from the Discord channel.
Wait, do we actually?
Just, ooh, yeah, just right now.
Hot potato.
Right now, ooh, we have a question. Fries or onion rings?
Onion rings.
It's a tough one.
But if it's curly one. Fries, then curly fries. Maybe it's the fact that something is circle. Just, it makes it taste better.
I want, like, fry seasoning fries. Like, you mean those thick steak fries where it's got, like, the orange and black peppered seasoning?
Yes. Yes. See, there's a lot of details here, but when you just give me fries and you just give me onion rings, like, basic items, I'm like, onion rings are crispy rings, you know? I'll go for those crispy wings.
Like, off of a fast food menu, onion rings, but, like, most other places, if you know what fries are getting, they can be much better. I ordered chili cheese fries last night and then found out they were out of chili.
Oh, so did you just get cheese fries?
I just got sweet potato fries instead.
Oh.
But I'm not a fan of those. Sad. You don't like sweet potatoes?
Nah, I don't. They're sweet. They're like potatoes but sweet.
Yeah, it's like a vegetable that's good for you and it also tastes like a fry, but like a candy fry.
That's weird. Like, while I'm at it, why don't I put like something sugary like pineapple on my pizza?
I mean, these all sound like great ideas to get nutrition and deliciousness in your body.
Ugh.
That came that question from our questionnaire of brilliance, Wally.
Amazing! It's been so long.
From the patient players, she came through clutch, man. She heard our cry. She realized that we were a starving podcast with no emails.
Huzzah!
And she came in and clutch and provided. Thank you.
Incredible.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody. You know where to find us: patientplayers.com/social. And you can see us around next week for another live recording on the weekend over on Twitch, or catch us on the podcast feed of your choice. And we will see you then. Thanks for enjoying the podcast. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.